Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is our last program of 2019. It's New Year's Eve. We're going to talk about crime because in January we've announced throughout this last year that we will be posting back online KGov's proposed Constitution of America. And a government, the form of government, the laws of the government have a lot to do with crime. And so we're going to look at something happening tomorrow in New York State. They have what they call bail reform, where the Bible gives only one instance in which it is moral and just to keep a man locked up. You don't lock up a man as a punishment for a crime. Punishment for crime, God only authorizes three forms. That's the death penalty, corporal punishment, and restitution. That's it. There is no such thing as locking up a man like an animal in a cage for 30 years. That is not a just form of punishment. But there is one time when God says that you lock up a man, you incarcerate a man. When is that? After a crime has been committed, when a suspect is identified and you are moving toward the trial and conducting the trial, during that time, you lock up a man. Well, New York State has the most horrific list. Beginning tomorrow, January 1st, 2020, their Democratic legislature has passed and their Democratic governor has signed into law this bail reform, which requires judges to release criminals who've committed this horrendous list of crimes, regardless of their criminal history, regardless of their links to the community. And so I'd like to share with you in a moment some of those crimes that if you are suspected of committing those crimes in New York State, you cannot be kept in jail. You have to be released until the trial. So in January, which begins tomorrow, we'll be posting back online our proposed Constitution for America. It's very different from the current U.S. Constitution. And I know that countless conservative Christians have been influenced, practically brainwashed, by the talking heads on conservative radio and television, the talking head Constitution worshipers, those who put more trust in the Constitution to save America than they put in God, in Jesus Christ, in the Scriptures. Idols, as you know, come in many shapes and sizes, right? Whether it's an idol made of stone, wood, or paper, it has the same effect. If something violates God's enduring criminal law, God wrote in stone, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness. These are enduring criminal laws. They apply in every nation and to this very moment. These are God's enduring criminal laws. However, you can find thousands of Christians defending actions that violate those laws, especially when they're defending something funded or an action taken by Republicans, and especially when they can find a way to say, well, it is constitutional, as though that's relevant. It is irrelevant to whether an action is criminal or not in reality. In Germany, if they say that, well, the judge ruled you could kill that Jew. What was the guy's name who stole the eggs? No, he didn't even steal the eggs. They charged him with hoarding eggs. His name was Marcus Luftgas, and he was sentenced to death for hoarding eggs because he was a Jew. And, oh, it's constitutional. It's legal. It's irrelevant if something is constitutional as to whether or not it is actually criminal. Whether or not it is actually right or wrong, whether or not it's something you're going to stand before God on Judgment Day to answer for, unless you're forgiven by trusting in Jesus Christ, but an actual crime that you will stand before God on Judgment Day and answer for committing a crime. Not only a sin, there are sins, and there are sins that elevate to the level of crime to where God has authorized human governments to enforce such laws and to punish those who violate those laws. God has authorized judges to do that. He has withheld authority from judges to give mercy to criminals. He's withheld that authority. He says, do not let your eye show pity. Take no mercy on the murderer, the convicted murderer. He shall surely be put to death. And Jesus affirmed that in the Gospels. Two chapters in the Gospels, we see that Jesus affirmed that. And he said, but you say, you know, yada, 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 whatever your excuse is for ignoring God's authority and God's command, maybe your excuse is, well, that's not what the Constitution says. You think on Judgment Day, God's going to say, okay, well, we're going to judge this guy. He was from Botswana. We're going to judge him by the Botswanian Constitution. Is that how that's going to work? No, of course not. So about crime, this program has been airing beginning in May 1991. So we're heading into 2020. So this will be our 29th year on the air. We've seen a lot happen during that time. When Bob Benyart Live began, one of the reasons that we focused on crime, the main reason is because the Bible is a criminal justice textbook, and the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you learn about guilt and innocence. You learn about the kind of testimony, the evidence, the witnesses against the accused. You learn about all this in the Bible from beginning to end. It truly is extraordinary. But it's mostly ignored by the church today. That perspective in which God revealed to us the scriptures. That context, it's mostly ignored. But when we started Bob Benyart Live back in the early 90s, the murder rate in America, 1990, the year before we went on the air, not the rate, I'll give you the actual numbers, was 23,400 murders. 23,400 nationwide, ignoring abortion. Ignoring the killing of innocent children, which, of course, you know, puts that over a million, 1990. But look at the crimes that the government recognizes, the murders they recognize. The year that Bob Benyart Live started, 1991, 24,700 murders in the U.S. 24,700. Of course, very many more than that. But that was the record. So we started, that was the record. And since then, over the next 10 years, the number kept dropping. And it went down to about 15,000 murders from almost 25,000. So in a decade, it dropped about 10,000. Now, why is that? Well, we explained it on the air at the time. It's not because Americans began to love one another more. It's not because the criminal justice system was improved. It's because we merely delayed the commission of crime by doubling the number of people incarcerated in the country. So we only postponed the crime that would be committed by locking people up for decades. And we said at the time, when these people with these long sentences, when they start getting released and the culture, the pendulum swings, these numbers will go back up. So over the next 10 years after that, 15 years, they went up and down a bit, 15,000 some, 16,000 some, seven down to 14,000 some. And then from 2015 to today, well, actually, the latest figures are for 2018, but we had 15,800, 16,000, 17,000. We'll see what 2019 is, and I expect it will be horrific. So the numbers are headed back up, and it is a tragedy, of course. Now, beginning tomorrow in New York State, there is a new law that takes effect. There are bail reform mandates for 2020 in New York State, and they state, and the list of crimes I'll read for you regarding a defendant, regardless of his criminal history, regardless if he's gone into a community from another state in order to commit a crime against somebody or from another country, regardless, his criminal history doesn't matter. He is caught by the cops. So many cops are so discouraged by how lawless our courts are. Forget about the criminals. The courts and the legislatures are lawless. America is an insane asylum run by the criminally insane. So regardless of the accused criminal history, ties to the community, he must be released without bail, not held, for here's the list, right? Manslaughter in the second degree. So, and this, by the way, this list has been circling on the internet, and rather than take one of those, even though they're very authoritative, the ones I've seen, I went to the official New York State government website, and I got on the State of New York letterhead right off their website. Here is, as of January 1st, 2020, a defendant must be released from custody without bail for the following crimes: manslaughter in the second degree, aggravated vehicular homicide. So that's not just killing somebody with your car. That's aggravated vehicular homicide. In other words, there are aggravating factors. Manslaughter in the second degree, the closer you get to first degree, the worse it is, right? So manslaughter in the second degree is where someone is behaving in a grossly negligent manner and they kill someone doing something that any reasonable person would know can easily kill someone. So, for example, if you are drunk and you're shooting your gun through an apartment building and you happen to kill a baby in a crib, well, there was no premeditation to kill that baby. That's manslaughter in the second degree. So the police can't hold you. The courts, they have to release you without bail, no less. You know, a lot of criminals, they should be incarcerated until the verdict of the trial, of course, and all that should be far more swift than it is. It's insanely slow, and being so slow is itself a crime, not only against the defendant, but against society. Justice delayed is justice denied, and against the victims and their families, loved ones. So you have to release the criminal without bail if he is charged with manslaughter in the second degree or third or fourth degree, aggravated vehicular homicide, criminally negligent homicide. So you're committing a crime, and in the commission of a crime, you kill someone. You didn't intend to kill them. You killed somebody. You have no ties to the community. You have a long criminal history, a rap sheet the length of your arm, and you get to walk away. with your promise that you'll come back. Oh, yes, yes, Your Honor, certainly I'll come back for my trial, of course. Why? Of course I will. Even if you've previously refused to appear in court, they still have to let you go. Assault in the third degree. Aggravated vehicular assault. Making a terroristic threat. How's that? Well, obviously that would apply if you made it to yourself too, like Jussie Smollett in Chicago. Criminal possession of a gun. So let's say you're a felon and you've got a firearm, then they can't hold you. And how about this? They added to that, criminal possession of a gun on school grounds. That's pretty good. Got to make sure you cover that. Criminal sale of a firearm to a minor. Maybe the kid wants to go kill his girlfriend. Arson in the third and fourth degree. How about that? Money laundering in support of terrorism in the third and fourth degree. Oh, that's nice. People who launder money in order to support terrorism, surely they would comply with the legal system and voluntarily show up for their next hearing. Promoting or possessing child pornography. It actually says obscene child pornography. Unlawful imprisonment in the first degree. That's kidnapping, basically, right? Unlawful imprisonment in the first degree. Coercion in the first degree. Grand larceny in the first degree. Criminal solicitation in the first degree. So that is prostitution. Right, you're paying for a prostitute. Criminal facilitation in the first degree. That's when you're a pimp, for example. Solicitation for prostitution in a school zone. How's that one? They got to add in a school zone. These liberals, I mean, they are mentally ill, right? Stupid doesn't make you sin, but boy, does sin make you stupid. And how stupid the Democrats are. The Republicans are always only 12 to 15 years behind the Democrats. But they, you know, they're not quite as swift. Failure to register as a sex offender. So the guy has already violated the court order. And now the court is releasing him on his own promise that he'll come back. And the only registration there should be for a sex offender is in Granite. You know how in Granite they carve a name? Here lies so-and-so, who is a sex offender. The only sex registry that should exist is in a cemetery on the tombstones. That's it. Or something similar. And they don't even deserve that, of course. So it's just making the point. Bribery and receiving bribes in the first degree and bribing to be put into public office. Isn't that great? They have to make sure they watch out for themselves, right? These are politicians who like to receive bribes. I mean, Barack and Michelle Obama, they become wildly wealthy, multi-millionaires because of their deep concern for the poor and because of their incredible worry about global warming and rising sea levels. They just bought a multi-million-dollar beachfront property. If you were afraid of rising sea levels, would you do that? The left, all the big anti-global warming people, they all buy beachfront property. They can't stop themselves. They just can't stop themselves. Bringing contraband into prison in the first and second degrees, you trust the guy. By his word, you let him go. Resisting arrest. How about that? Somebody's already resisting arrest, and the police capture them, and then the judge in the legislature says, okay, well, you can go. You were trying to resist arrest, so we're going to let you go. Hindering prosecution. How's that? I mean, if they could, they would hang the president instead of impeach him, if they could. And here, somebody hinders prosecution, like Nancy Pelosi. Right? Abuse of power and obstructing Congress by not bringing the articles of impeachment over to the Senate. It's hysterical. She's guilty of exactly what they were accusing Donald Trump of doing. It couldn't be more bizarre. tampering with a juror, tampering with physical evidence. Is that too much? I mean, tampering with physical evidence so there's a murder case and somebody is stealing or removing or ripping up fingerprints or whatever, and you let them go on their promise that they'll show up for court. Aggravated harassment in the first degree. That's because these liberals really love women. They're concerned for respect for women. They will sacrifice a million women on the altar of being nice to criminals. In fact, even being nice to rapists, they will sacrifice a million women on the altar of being nice to rapists. We would execute the rapist. To be a good liberal, you have to love the rapist and kill his baby. To be a good liberal, you have to love the rapist and kill his baby. We would execute the rapist and love the baby. But for that, they think that we're extremists. How about directing a laser at an aircraft? They wouldn't put that on the list, would they? And that's something that terrorists are especially inclined to do. Surely they wouldn't put that. And if they did, directing a laser at an aircraft, it'd have to be second or third degree, maybe only fourth degree. Now, directing a laser at an aircraft in the first degree, a get out of jail free card. So you think I'm making this up? I'm not making this up. And one sheriff in New York State, Brian Schenck, actually, he's running for sheriff. He's a lieutenant detective. He's been with the force locally there in his city for decades. Now he's running for sheriff. So he put the list out on his Facebook page, and a retired detective in Indiana emailed me this list and said, Bob, you got to look at this. And what the sheriff did was he put a lot of it in English so that we could understand better what the second degree, first degree, when they mention these things. And so many of them include hate crimes, for example, burglary hate crimes, robbery hate crimes, reckless assault of a child by a daycare provider. And he includes all the numbers, you know, like Colorado revised statutes, numbers, section, paragraph. So it's all included. And this list is going around the internet. And there's a lot of outrage. And the left loves it, right? The left, like the ACLU, the leftist organization, ACLU. What does that stand for, ACLU? All criminals love us. That's it. All criminals love us. Or the Antichrist legions of the underworld. One or the other. I never figured it out. But yeah, the ACLU, they started out, they said their motivation was free speech and liberty. And the founder of the ACLU was infatuated with the Soviet Union, traveled to Moscow repeatedly, defended the communists. And he was asked about the contradiction in an interview. He was challenged that, well, over in Russia there, they don't even allow free speech. And the ACLU says you support free speech. And he said, well, what they're trying to accomplish is worth that sacrifice. I debated the director of the Colorado ACLU here in Denver on public television. And we have that, in fact, as a DVD. I don't know if we have it as a download, but you can get it at our store, KGOV.com. By the way, a lot of people like to make a year-end donation, and it's really wonderful for an organization like ours. It helps us to stay on the air. But I want to let you know, I got an email from somebody in Ohio, and he said, I'm going to make an end-of-the-year donation. You could do that online, or you could call us, 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. But remember that Bob and Yart Live is not tax deductible. So a lot of people making a year-end donation, I mean, it's wonderful to think about the efforts, the organizations that need funding to continue. But if you do need a tax deduction, then and you're open for a suggestion, I would suggest, of course, Denver Bible Church, where I have the honor of being the pastor for 20 years now. In our next two Sunday morning messages at Denver Bible Church, we're going to do a look back at the previous 20 years, a history of how God has worked through Denver Bible Church. And we are part of the greater body of Christ and the history of the body of Christ in the last 2,000 years. So this is a chapter in that history, what's happened in and through Denver Bible Church. So if you do need a tax deduction and you could get to your computer or a phone today, you could go to denverbiblechurch.org and you could give right there one time, weekly, monthly, and how tremendously that can help us. And if you don't need a tax deduction, then Bob and Yurt Live truly needs your help to stay on the air, to bring a biblical worldview to more and more people. It's been our passion for almost 30 years now, and Lord willing, this effort will continue to reach more and more people. Our website, kgov.com, just click on the store to donate, or down in the footer of every page, you can see how easy it is to donate. It's hard to give the money, but it's easy to click the buttons. So look for the proposed Constitution for America coming online very soon here. Also, of course, we do a lot of science at Bob and Yurt Live. And someone after church on this past Sunday said, "One thing I love about Denver Bible Church, it's also a science church." And that is fun. You know, we had visitors from Florida here and there, and they say, "Wow, we never learned these things," and how they tell us more about God and all. It's so exciting. Well, just at the end of the year, we have proposed a science experiment to measure the distance of some of the further galaxies. And so this is really pretty interesting. I've run this past a couple scientists, including a cosmologist, and asked, "Have you ever heard of this proposed?" "No." "Is it theoretically possible?" Even though we might not be able to do it, but is it theoretically possible? "Well, yeah, it sort of seems like it's possible. And if so, this would be a way to measure significant distances in the universe." And the idea is this, real quickly. You know what it means to triangulate the distance to something? It's very exacting. If you close your right and left eyes alternating, you'll see things jumping back and forth. That's because of parallax. The angle between your right eye and that object as compared to between your left eye and that object. And if you measure that carefully, you could know the distance to the object. That's why God made us in that way with two eyes, so that we could have spatial depth perception. It's awesome what God did for us. Well, we triangulate to stars, but only to the very nearest stars. Initially to stars that are only a few light years away, then 10 light years away. Now I think with satellites we could triangulate to stars that are about 1,000 light years away. That's incredible. But the Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years in diameter. So we're only triangulating to the stars that are in our neck of the woods, so to speak. There's no way to triangulate to galaxies. They use the galaxies, the fact that they don't move, they use them to triangulate the distance to those stars, because they take a picture here, take a picture there, and those stars might move like equivalent to the width of a human hair at 20 yards away. Right? The width of a human hair at 20 yards away, try to think of that. Actually, that was decades ago. Now it's much better. Here's the idea that we proposed, and it's on our website, kgov.com/expansion, a proposed triangulation experiment. How could you possibly triangulate to a galaxy that's halfway across the universe? How could you do that? Well, maybe check it out, or maybe we'll share it tomorrow.